It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. State Representative Dave Reed first entered politics as a registered Democrat, but now at the age of 36, the six-term incumbent is the newly elected leader of the Pennsylvania House Republican Caucus. The Indiana County native joins us now by phone to discuss his vision for the future of the Commonwealth and how he plans to work with a Democratic governor. Representative Reed, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you for having me on the show.
And you can join the conversation by calling 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Email is esspgh@wesa.fm. And on Twitter at ESSPGH, hashtag EPLive, if you have a comment or a question for our guest, State Representative Dave Reed, who, as I mentioned, is taking over as the newly elected leader of the Pennsylvania House Republican Caucus. Representative Reed, tell us how you went from identifying as a Democrat prior to running for office to being now one of the most powerful people in the state GOP.
Well, I grew up in Indiana County, in the southern portion of the county, in a small township, center township near Homer City. And, you know, truthfully, in that area, there's not a ton of difference between a Republican and a Democrat. You know, it's a very socially conservative area, and it's a very blue-collared area where, you know, most of the folks are very pro-gun, pro-life, pro-energy, particularly pro-coal and pro-natural gas. So, you know, although I was registered as a Democrat, I'd always been fairly conservative by nature. My family's fairly conservative as well. And ultimately, you know, when faced with the choice, when I first began looking for elective office, you know, I talked to the Democratic Party locally, and they basically said they weren't interested in having a young guy like me run for the state house in an area like this. And they said, well, if you want to run for the state house, you should go talk to the Republican Party. And I was really just interested in helping my community and, you know, helping other young folks hopefully have the opportunity to stay in the area. So I talked to the Republican Party. They were very welcoming. And, you know, ultimately, I guess it all worked out in the end.
And, you know, you say that there's not much difference between a Republican and a Democrat in that part of the state, and you may well be right. But in your Indiana office, you have what has been described as an enormous black and white photograph of President John F. Kennedy and his brother Bobby Kennedy, both Democrats, dominating one wall. Explain this homage to the Kennedys and how you came to identify with them as politicians and leaders.
Yeah, I'm not sure I would necessarily classify it as enormous and, you know, taking up an entire wall. It's your typical, you know, poster that was framed. I actually got it from Arlington National Cemetery when I had a chance to visit there in college and then framed it over the years. And, you know, we've got pictures of Teddy Roosevelt as well. And I've always been a firm believer that leadership matters more than party, that, you know, the folks at the top need to be willing to lead, to make decisions, whether they're politically popular or not, and actually to lead a country, a state, or a community forward. And in all honesty, I'm not sure, you know, the mantra and the public policy perspective of JFK would necessarily fit into today's Washington, D.C. Democratic Party as well.
Well, there's a theme here, though, and I wasn't aware of the Teddy Roosevelt, but you know, he, like the Kennedys, was a politician, and he was someone who identified himself, or was in fact a Republican, at a time when that designation was maybe meant something different than what it does today. But there's a theme here that these were politicians, these were office holders and leaders who really championed the disadvantaged, the people who had been left out in society, the people who were what we would call today economically challenged. Would you say that that's been a kind of a pretty consistent theme that you've identified with?
Yes, it is. And, you know, growing up in Western Pennsylvania in the 80s and 90s, there were an awful lot of folks who experienced, you know, the hardships of a downtrodden economy. And, you know, when you grow up in that sort of environment, you see so many of the folks you went to high school have to leave our communities to find a more prosperous job search environment elsewhere. It leaves an impression. And I am personally a firm believer that government's primary responsibility, particularly at the state level, because at the national level you've got other concerns like national security. But at the state level, our primary responsibility is to work each and every day to try to give folks the opportunity to actually be financially independent from their government. And if you look at Kennedy, if you look at Roosevelt, even if you look back to somebody like Lincoln, you know, they focused their policies on agenda items that helped move folks from a life of perhaps poverty to a life of self-sustainability. And I think that is our goal even in the year 2014.
Like President Kennedy and his successor, Lyndon Johnson, you focused a lot of your efforts as a state legislator on addressing poverty in Pennsylvania. And you just mentioned that that's something that you feel is important and needs to be done at the state level. How did this come to be such an important issue for you?
You know, it's important, again, growing up in a town like Homer City where we had some tough times and, you know, growing up in a family that faced unemployment a couple times when I was growing up as a kid. And then really it took hold as I watched the 2008 and 2012 presidential elections. And here we had candidates who, between them, were spending nearly $1 billion to win the presidency. And they talked about pretty much so any issue imaginable. They talked about national security. They talked about job creation, talked about health care. You know, they talked about pretty much so every social issue most folks are not comfortable talking about around their own dinner tables. But none of the candidates seem to want to talk about the fact that here we are in the wealthiest, most developed nation in the history of the free world. And in the year 2014, we've got 46 million Americans living in poverty. And it's not because of a lack of effort. We spend almost $1 trillion a year on anti-poverty programs. There's got to be a better way of helping move people to self-sustainability than the ways we've been trying in all these years to gain those sort of results. So I thought, okay, can we have a better conversation? Can we put Republican and Democratic talking points aside and actually look at, okay, what's working, what's not working, and try to make the system better?
We're talking with State Representative Dave Reed here on Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. Representative Reed is the newly elected leader of the Pennsylvania House Republican Caucus. If you have a comment or question for him, you can call us at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Let's go to Anna in Indiana County, who is on the line. Anna, welcome to the show. You are on with State Rep. Dave Reed.
Hi, thank you very much, and thank you for having him on. I'm a Democrat, but I voted for him. I'd like to know the status of his proposal to stop using property taxes to fund our school education system. Using property taxes is so unequal. If people really knew how much difference there is in what people pay to fund their private, their public schools, I think we would have an uproar. Thank you very much.
All right, Anna, thank you for the question. So, Representative Reed, what is the status of your proposed bill to stop funding education with property taxes?
Well, Anna, thank you very much for the call, and thank you for your support around election time as well. On the issue of property taxes, I just reintroduced my proposal that would use the sales tax and the income tax to find a fairer mechanism for funding our public schools across Pennsylvania. You know, certainly we're at the beginning of the legislative session, but I've gotten a group of legislators, about 15, 20 legislators together for the last month and a half in between the old session and before we started the new session here to start working on a proposal to try to garner the votes necessary to get it passed through the House and hopefully gain support in the Senate as well. And hopefully the new governor will have an interest in the topic when he takes office next week. But it's an issue that's been talked about for 30, 40 years. There's no perfect solution that everybody just magically agrees upon. There's got to be compromise. There's got to be give and take. But the one thing I think most rational folks can agree upon, you know, the issue of escalating property taxes is forcing folks out of their homes, making our educational system less affordable, and we've got to find a fairer way of funding our schools.
Well, certainly one of the issues that it will face the legislature as it convenes next week is the issue of taxes. And there's just a report out today that we've been talking about here on WESA. The Nonpartisan Institute for Taxation and Economic Policy finds that the poorest residents pay nearly three times what the wealthy pay in taxes as a share of income. middle-income earners pay twice as much as the richest residents. Governor-elect Wolf has proposed setting a graduated income tax rate that would require the, of course, the process of amending the state constitution. But is that a good idea, do you think? The idea of that Governor-elect Wolf is proposing of setting a graduated income tax rate?
You know, I think that's an idea that ultimately, you know, legislatures don't get to decide. The voters get to decide because you have to amend the Constitution to do so, and that process nearly takes 5 years. So I think if that is the proposed solution for budgetary deficits over the next 6 months, you know, certainly we're going to have to talk about some other options out there. But I think a fair tax system is something that we all seek to implement in Pennsylvania. And more than anything else, what we want to do, I think at least from my perspective, if you want to create the fairest tax system of all, you want to grow your economy. You actually want more folks paying taxes, more folks working for a living, meaning that you have more revenue coming in and you have less of a need for governmental services to begin with. I think sometimes we get caught up in the battle of the haves and the have-nots and class warfare. What we should be focusing on is how do we move each and every individual and each and every family forward in life.
And on the topic of Governor Wolf and some of his ideas, some would say that would consider him to be a liberal Democrat. Many are concerned about how effectively he'll be able to work with a Republican-dominated legislature. Representative Reed, how do you see that playing out, and where is the middle ground here?
You know, I think certainly if the governor-elect comes into office and takes the perspective of it's his way or the highway, that will make for a very challenging 2-year time frame. But everything that I've read thus far and the meetings I've had with the governor-elect and his team, they seem to be taking more of a businessman's approach to the governor's office, meaning understanding that, look, the Republican legislature has its priorities. The governor will likely start with his priorities, and the goal in the end is to actually get something done, to find a way to meet in the middle. You know, in government, in a democracy, nobody gets 100% of exactly what they want with public policy if you want something to happen. If you want to get something done, you've got to be willing to compromise and a willingness to work together. And I think, you know, if the governor takes that approach, he will find willing partners within the legislature to try to enact the best public policy that makes the most sense for the majority of our citizens.
State Representative Dave Reed is our guest, the newly elected leader of the Pennsylvania House Republican Caucus. 412-246-2002 is the number to join the conversation. We have Julie on the line in Pittsburgh. Julie, welcome to the show.
Hello. My name is Joyce Devlin.
Oh, Joyce, I beg your pardon.
Yes, no problem. I've been called worse than Julie. What I'm interested in, and first of all, congratulations on your election, and I like your stand on the poverty issue. And my interest is, where do you stand on student loan reform? For myself, you know, I personally feel that at some point the compounded interest, if you're not making the money, you've fallen behind for whatever reason, at some point that debt should be, you know, there should be a cap, a ceiling. How do you feel about that reform?
Well, it's actually not a state issue. It is a federal issue. The state does not deal with the student loan process. I will say, as a person who's still paying back his student loans from his time at IUP and Penn, you know, certainly I think the key topic of discussion when we're talking about student loans is, I mean, everybody focuses on, okay, the cost of education, the amount of student aid that's available for our students entering into our four-year institutions, but also probably the part that gets overlooked oftentimes is we need to have jobs for these students to go to once they graduate. Student loans are a heck of a lot easier to pay down if you actually have a job to go to once you graduate to pay down those student loans. So, you know, we've got to talk about the cost drivers, we've got to talk about affordability, but we've also got to create a vibrant economy that actually allows folks to graduate with a degree that they can get a job with as they enter the workforce.
Joyce, thank you for that question, and unfortunately it's one over which the state legislature has little impact, but I think what is important to note here, Representative Reed, is that you've lived that scenario. You mentioned, you know, that you're paying down loans, and you ended up studying government at Penn. I believe you got a master's degree there.
Correct.
And so you are someone who, you know, growing up in a family that at times, from what I understand, struggled to make ends meet. But at some point in your life, you identified a goal. And talk about how you were able to get from deciding, okay, I want this life in public service, which means I need to be educated. How did you identify the path to doing that and knowing what it was going to take to achieve what you wanted to do?
Well, it was really a path set forth by my parents who, you know, they faced unemployment several times as we were growing up. But they are really a testament to how America is supposed to work. You get knocked down, you pick yourself back up, you keep moving forward. And, you know, the sole goal of my parents as we were growing up, my sister and I during our childhood, was to send both of us off to college. And they succeeded in that goal. We both have undergraduate degrees. We both have master's degrees. We're both doing fairly well, respectively, in our chosen professions. And I think the key thing for me was that, you know, you've got to be willing to put the time and the effort into achieving your goals as well. You can't expect somebody else to do it for you. You know, as I went through my years at IUP, I was always working one, two, three jobs at a time to help keep my student loan debt to a minimum. And the same thing occurred during my time at Penn. You know, I think the one thing that we've got to make sure we do going forward for our young folks, they've got to be willing partners in their futures. They can't just expect our teachers, our educators, our universities, or our government to accomplish all their goals for them. They have to take hold of that future and their own destinies as well.
We are talking here on Essential Pittsburgh with State Representative Dave Reed. If you'd like to join us in the last few minutes that we have remaining with the representative, 412-246-2002 is the number to call. Let's go to Steve in Wexford, who has a comment for Representative Reed. Steve, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh. How are you?
Good. How are you guys?
Good, thanks.
Thank you for taking my call. I just have a comment about, without talking about a living wage, if you can't afford your rent and food and your basic health care, you're really talking about basically, you're not really paying, you're giving them a job, but you're not really giving them any type of sustainability as a person. And also the senator and or congressman talked about being partner with education. Banks that lend for education are taxed or get received them 1%. They pay 1% from the federal government in interest, but they charge a 6% fee to lend the money to students. So why can't the government just lend the students 1% at 1% rate as opposed to 6. So, crushing debt. Thank you.
Steve is addressing the issue of student debt. I'm not sure what you'd like to do with that one, Representative.
There was necessarily a question there. But I think on the issue of student debt, I think the one thing that I would just take the opportunity to point out, when the government is lending money, it's not lending money out of a magical pot of gold at the end of the rainbow somewhere. Government is lending out our taxpayer dollars to our students at very low interest rates to move themselves forward. So we just have to remember that money is coming out of somebody else's pocket that we are lending out throughout that system.
He talked about wages, and certainly one of the problems in the United States and it's felt by people here in Pennsylvania, is income disparity. We see it here in Pittsburgh. We see it in other parts of the state and the country. People refer to the 1%, but certainly there is an upper echelon in this country that's making a lot of money and people who are struggling and very little middle ground there. Would raising the minimum wage, which Pennsylvania has not done, would that be something that could help to solve that problem?
You know, raising the minimum wage comes up every 8 to 10 years. And, you know, I voted to raise the minimum wage the last time we considered it here in Pennsylvania. And it's something that every once in a while you adjust just with the times. For folks to believe that that is the solution to our economic woes, I think they're misguided from an economic perspective. You know, whether the minimum wage is $7.25 an hour, $10.10 an hour, or $100 an hour, the folks making the minimum wage will still be at the bottom of the totem pole as far as our wage earners go. And ultimately, prices will readjust and their purchasing power will not change in the end game. What we need to do is focus on how do we take folks making the minimum wage and give them the opportunity to move forward where they're moving into better paying jobs in the future. Because if we keep folks stuck at the minimum wage, they're going to be stuck in that same sort of lifestyle going forward. We don't want anybody in reality making that wage.
Well, and you just asked a very good question. Do you have an answer for that? We seem to be losing the middle class jobs that paid if not a livable wage, actually a sustainable wage, something that gave people some buying power, some discretionary income that fueled the economy.
Well, I think
we don't seem to have gained enough of those jobs back since the start of the Great Recession here.
Well, I think there's two opportunities. Number one, we've got to focus on educational programs that are educating folks, whether they be young people or folks reentering the workforce, for jobs that actually exist. You know, not just degrees that make you feel good, but jobs that will exist in the region in which they want to inhabit after they graduate from those programs. And then number two, I think in Western Pennsylvania in particular, we've got an amazing opportunity with the energy sector, not just directly, whether it be natural gas or coal or power plants, but also bringing back manufacturing because of the low cost of energy within our region. And I think that's a huge opportunity because good-paying manufacturing jobs are part of what we've lost over the last couple of decades in Western Pennsylvania. Would be great to bring back to the region.
We have Sandra on Sandra in Latrobe on the line with a question that I think you've already answered, but we'll let Sandra, since she's been waiting, join us here on the air. Hi, Sandra.
Hi. Yes, that is a question that I have, and I also have a question why the government doesn't give more incentive for people to get off disability.
Why doesn't the government give people more incentive to get off disability?
Well, right. We're only allowed to make $80 a month. We can't save any money.
Well, and that is, I will say, as we've looked at some of the anti-poverty programs that have been out there over the last year, and the disability programs are actually ran through the Social Security system at the federal level, but that has been one of the frustrations we've had at the state level, is a lack of common sense within some of those guidelines, that it actually punishes folks for trying to get off the system and moving forward. We're looking at programs that we control at the state level, child care assistance and food stamps, where we can kind of remove some of those barriers for folks moving forward. And then we're going to be engaging with our federal elected officials, Senator Casey, Senator Toomey, our congressional folks, on looking at changes that we need some help with from the federal government to actually bring a little bit more common sense to that system.
Sandra, thank you for that phone call. And we've just about come to time for this segment. I wanted to thank our guest, State Representative Dave Reed. Again, he is a six-term incumbent and is the newly elected leader of the Pennsylvania House Republican Caucus at the ripe old age of 36. You are what some people would say wise beyond your years, Representative Reed, and someone with whom we've enjoyed talking. It's been a fascinating conversation. Thank you for taking the time to join us, and good luck next week as the legislature reconvenes.
Paul, thank you very much for having me.
My pleasure. Coming up, we will look at the issue of the first Pennsylvania city to be sued under a new state law targeting local gun ordinances. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.